Well, this morning we're going back into our teaching again on Joseph. We're talking about interpreting the will of God. We're going to, I got a little bit talking more about that last week. We want to talk about this interpreting the will of God. And this is a hugely important thing. You know, you can know or even memorize things that the Bible says, but that doesn't mean you can interpret what God's doing. You know, it's amazing if you sit and look at from a scriptural perspective, if you look at, say, Jesus' ministry. If we look at Jesus' ministry, he walked the earth. Jesus used scriptures at time, and if you go over and look at them to where they came out of different prophecies, they can give you a different look, a different picture, and he says, this is what God was talking about. And he'll use a scripture and said, you know, and also Paul did the same thing in scriptures. In his other words, you and I have to be able to interpret God's plan. Now, that's done through the Holy Spirit. We need to understand this as believers. Your Bible, in a sense, is of no value to you without the Holy Spirit. It's not of much value. Without the Holy Spirit, you can come up with a lot of ideas. I mean, even Christians, sometimes, do you ever have this happen to you? You come up with an idea, you thought the Bible was talking about a certain thing, and all of a sudden you come along and you get a revelation, and you think, my God, I really didn't know what that was talking about at all. You know, I didn't know at all. Wow. The Holy Spirit brings a revelation to you from the Scriptures and reveals things to you. And this is one thing, God is operating around us, in us, through us, but we need to know, we need to stay aware of it. And let me say this, the Holy Spirit just brought this to my remembrance. It's one of the things is we as believers need to understand is to do. Over the years, I found this out, is about the more I learn about God, and not just from the Bible, but from experiences with God that were biblical experiences and stuff. But I found out this about the Lord, and we're going to look at maybe some of that today. If you don't ask God certain things, he won't talk to you about them, even though you need to know the answer. God just doesn't come along and just throw revelation out there. The Bible says if you seek, you find. You're going to find what you seek. If you're not seeking certain things, you're not going to find them. If you're not, that's not your search. I found over the years of many times going along and there were certain areas I was sort of wanting to know certain things, but I never really talked to the Lord about it specifically. We have the idea, well, if I'm just going to go over here, maybe I'll look and read the Bible. As I read the Bible, maybe, we see people say, well, man, I just opened the Bible one day and there was this, I looked down and heard this certain scripture and that was my answer. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if that's the way you're going to get revelations, you might get two of those in a lifetime. So, we don't want to count on that. Sometimes God does some phenomenal things in areas like that, but that's not the norm. It's not normally how he operates. It's one of the things that we need to understand is we have to, many times, have to ask God things. If I have something that I specifically want to understand, I need to talk to God about revealing that to me. The Holy Spirit's in you as your teacher. But if you don't go to class with anything, he might not have nothing to teach you or nothing to tell you. And there's things you need to know. Also, you need to understand this. Listen to the Holy Spirit about things you need to study instead of things you want to study. There's things you may want to know. You need to understand this. If there's certain things that he can't teach you, maybe the thing you want to know, he can't show you because there's something else you need to know. So you want to do that. I've learned this over the years. Over time, I'll go along, and all of a sudden, I just get a sense to go look in certain things in the Bible. I mean, I have no inclination naturally to want to do that. But I'll just get a sense I need to go over and maybe do a little studying or looking into this area, and I'll start to go over and look into that area. And I'll start talking to the Lord about that area because I get a sense within me he's moving that direction. So I start to talk about him. I say, well, Lord, I'm just available. You show me in this direction what you want to show me. Reveal it to me. I want to know. See, you know, it's just like, it's sort of, you know, you can be a student and go to classes and sit down and learn a certain amount. But the student that is responsive in the class and has questions, if a teacher don't talk about it in class, if you have the initiative to go talk to them after the class, they'll probably learn some things, you know. Most people will sit down, this is what they'll do. Well, they didn't tell us anything about that. Well, if you want to know about it, why didn't you ask? So you get that in a crowd. Now I'm going to tell you, most Christians operate that way in church. They never go beyond what somebody said and told them. they don't go beyond it themselves to know. And you have to. You got to go beyond, because God will do that to you. God will expect you to take an initiative. When He's revealing something, He wants you to take that initiative. And we're going to find, as we go in more here and look in Joseph, we're going to find one of the great complications that happened in Joseph's family was the fact that all these different things are happening and taking place, and they're not really talking to God about it. And so they're getting no answers. And it's a terrible time. We're living in a day like that today. The church is deciding how and what they want to do, and they're not stopping and asking God. They're not getting direction from God. They're just sort of out here, you know, we're just doing this nice stuff. But talking to God about things and interpreting what is going on out here, I'll guarantee you there's a lot of the church world sure wouldn't like Donald Trump at all. You know, ain't going to like him. I mean, the Pope ain't going to like Donald Trump because he's got money. And the Pope's loaded with money himself. You know, he lives in a place and lives like God in the earth, and then turns around and tells other people about what they ought to do with their money. We'll start selling those paintings and statues off, and then you can come and talk to me. Other than that, we ain't talking, you hypocrite. You know, you ain't going to live in the laps of luxury and then turn around and tell somebody else what they ought to give, what they ought to do. I'm not one of those preachers. You know, we need to understand these things. People get into trouble. They can't interpret the will of God. And there's things that we need to use just good common sense about how we do things. And as we look at this story, one of the things that I talked about last week, and I want to reiterate again concerning Joseph in how God used him in the interpretation for Pharaoh, is one of the things is getting ourselves over in the areas of changing the way that we believe about things. You know, we can get set in a problem so long is we get in sort of this mentality. Well, you know, like a person will say, somebody they'll have, you know, things about somebody, say, losing weight or doing something. They'll say, well, you didn't gain that weight overnight. In other words, you're supposed to expect to take a long time to deal with this. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take a long time. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if I've gained too much weight over 10 years period, I don't want to wait 10 years to get rid of it. But we pick up that mentality. So what do? We quit. We have this idea. We can't think that anything, and well, if it's done too fast, it ain't good. You don't want to go there in your faith. Because we find out that Joseph came along and interpreted a dream that Pharaoh had. And so he told him what it was, and then he turned around and gave Pharaoh wisdom what to do. You know, it was one thing, the interpretation, but God gave, and we need to understand this. This isn't just a really smart guy, but he gave Pharaoh specific instructions of what to do for the next 7 years, specifically what to do. In Genesis, the 41st chapter, I'm going to go there to read that. And in verse 33, this is after the interpretation of the dream. Joseph says to Pharaoh, "Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years." Now, I mean, this is specific word of knowledge, a specific direction for Pharaoh of what to do for the land. Now understand this. This is not going to only spare his land. It's going to spare, you know, Jacob and his family. But it's also, if you read the whole story, other nations were coming to him also when the famine took place to buy land. So really, God in his wisdom is what he's doing here. And I just want you to know this, is if you understand the Bible, why this 7 years of plenty and 7 years, there were 7 years of judgment came on the land. 7 years of judgment. You know, you understand out here on this land, and this is we're right now, we've been in a time of judgment here in America. And this has thrown many Christians off and thrown many people off. They look at the things going on and they're sitting around, well, things just ain't getting better and ain't better. And they see things over a prolonged period of time getting worse, and so their idea is God's not moving. God's not moving. You know, we get the people and they join the crowd and say, yeah, well, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Well, you'll be one of the poor. You know, you look at that, You know, it's just like here. It's like Donald Trump comes along and he's using his money to run an election and he ain't turning around asking you for anything. Is he? Yet he'll go out after people. You know, he'll care. They turn around and say, oh, he talks like we can't do this, or we're not going to let him, you know, we kick him off the show he was on TV and all that. Does it faze him? Not the least. He didn't become a billionaire from them. They made money off of him. It was because of him they made money. You see, you get a wrong picture of yourself, and what you see yourself as, if you look at the guy that's rich out here, and you just look at him as like, well, you know, and I just need him to get, he's got money, I need to get his money, and well, you get that picture. I mean, it leads you to poverty. Because you never see yourself in the perspective that God has you. Why couldn't you be the one making them money? See, Donald Trump has a better view than 99% of Christians do and Christian preachers got. He's not moved. I mean, there's preachers that let anything go on their church rather than put anybody out because of money. They'll preach anything you want. Paul said to you in the last day, he said people are going to draw preachers to themselves. Wow, they're going to preach what people want because you can make money at it. My God, you go out here and tell people what they want to hear and I'll tell you, they'll come with the droves. But they get afraid that if you speak any other thing, well, they're going to turn around and leave. The people get afraid. This fear-driven stuff, and a lot of this has gotten into the church world. But, you know, we're out here, you know, Pharaoh comes along and this wisdom of God, now just think, the wisdom of God came through this man. The wisdom of God comes to him, gives specific direction. And we need to know that we're in a place here where there's all kind of crazy stuff going on and happening out here. But we need to get the right view about ourselves. We need to get ourselves over and to see properly about the things that are coming. Would God give wisdom today? Would He give us wisdom on things today? Why did He do it then? See, God had a plan. Things may look bad for a period of time. You know, it's just like we're dealing with, especially with Jacob. Jacob has gone through a lousy time. But Jacob's going through a bad time because of not dealing with things right. He's not dealing with things right. We'll see some of this. Joseph's over here. He's got the wisdom of God. God has a plan, and that plan's rolling along. God's plan was operating way back. God wasn't thrown by what Joseph's brothers did or anything like that. God had a plan. And God set things in motion in spite of what people were doing. He's setting things in motion. God sees the bigger picture. See, all Jacob could see was Joseph's life. That's all he could see. That's as far as he could see. Joseph died. Jacob is now a walking dead man. That's as far as he could see. Joseph died. No, poor old me. Poor old me. We're going to find out he's down the road, years and years down the road, and it's still poor old me. Poor old me. Something bad happened in my life, and I never get over it. And loads of people are in that condition. Something's happened in their life, and they're living it every day. And they'll say, I don't even remember it. Yeah, but you're living out those things. You're living them out in your life. The bad part of your life. Something that happened. Something happened, and he didn't see. He didn't even know the truth that went on. I will guarantee you, he probably never asked. He probably asked God a lot of things about Joseph being gone, but never asked the right questions about him. Never asked the right questions about him. You know, Joseph, you know, it's one of the things, we know this, Jacob never believed the dreams that his son had. He didn't believe them. He said he kept them in mind, but when his son died, well, that ain't going to happen no more. God gave him a dream. I want to tell you, God gave me dreams. God gave me vision to fulfill. And see, if you want to succeed in life and you want to stay happy, you got to keep it in front of you. This is why lots of people don't even have a vision or dream. They don't have anything to attain other than go to work and one day retire. That's their vision and their dream. That ain't much of a vision or a dream. That won't keep you alive. there ain't no. That's not enough to keep you alive. It's not enough to do it. See, there has to be the vision. There's got to be something that came from God to keep your future running out there, to keep yourself looking down the road. But he told him, he said, about to collect a fifth of the produce of the land in Egypt in the seven plentiful years. And he said, let them gather all the food. And he went and told them all to do. And he said, you know, Pharaoh needs to do this. Get somebody and appoint him to this. He said, here's the wisdom of it. And then in verse 38, it says, and Pharaoh said to the servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then it says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over the house, and all of my people shall be ruled according to your word. Listen to this. Now I want you to get this stuff. He says, only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. Listen to this. Now I want you folks to understand this. All this stuff was working, and all of a sudden one day it just blew up out there. But this didn't happen in one day. God had been working this thing all along. And see, if you don't have vision of the future, if you don't see what God has said ahead, what happens is people turn around and quit. We get discouraged by what's going on. God sent Jacob into the land and, you know, sent Jacob. God's promised to Jacob to bless him, prosper him. And what's Jacob doing? He's sitting out in the land, starving out, don't know what to do, sitting out there. He lost vision. He lost vision. He lost vision. One thing we can find, and we find as we go along in this story, Joseph never lost the vision. Joseph so never lost the vision that before he died, he made the children of Israel promise, knowing this, that it would be over 400 years before the children of Israel would leave the land of Egypt. And he still said, when I leave, you don't leave my bones here. You take them with you over to the land. This is a man of vision. He heard what Abraham, his great-grandfather, said. He heard the words down through. He heard the things. He knew that was passed on to Isaac and was given to his father, the things that God said. And he held them and believed them. And he never lost the vision of it. He never lost the vision. And see, this is, we need to understand, right now we're living in the days, when you're living in days like today, the things that are coming on the face of the earth. You got to walk in the vision. You got to walk in the things that God promised concerning the future. You got to walk in. These are the days you have to have it. On the days when everything seems to be going real good, you might not seem you need it much. Well, I'm going to tell you, those days are gone. You need it today to stand, to succeed. Because I want you to understand this. There's a lot of people will not, and Christians I'm talking about, will not succeed, not do well. They'll not succeed. They'll not do well. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin personally in 1950, many of my people will not be prepared for my return. Many. He didn't say some. He said many will not be prepared. Why? They lose vision. When you lose the vision, after a while you get over into the area, you become hopeless. You start worrying about things, and next thing you know, you change your religion to suit you to make you feel okay a little bit. Trying to fit in, trying to be part of whatever it is, taking on somebody else's vision or some other thing, trying to be happy, trying to get by. We don't have to do that. We as believers, we don't have to go that route. We don't have to go there. Pharaoh put this man in charge. If you go on to read, it says that Pharaoh took his signet ring off. It says his signet ring. Here's a ruler walks around, his ring, you know, his signet, he takes it off, says, I'm giving it to you. Now just think, this happened one day. One day a guy comes along, interprets a dream. And this is what I want you to understand. God can change the hearts.